Sports Ethos coverage show. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am joined, as always, by my good buddy and frenemy here, Mr. Trey Hill. And we're excited, man, because we are excited to be joined today by the one and only Ryan Borja, who is a contributor over there at Bulls Confidential. Also, if you guys don't follow him yet, go follow him on Twitter. He's the Bulls GM at Ryan Borja on Twitter. He is a salary cap enthusiast, is what it says, for the Chicago Bulls. But Ryan, thanks for coming on, man. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me. Good time of year to talk Bulls basketball. Actually, always good time of year to talk Bulls basketball, especially during free agency and all the craziness that brings.
Yeah, and you know, I think I saw somewhere, maybe it was probably on Twitter. I'm on Twitter all the time, but it was, I saw somewhere that someone said, you know, I don't think we're ever going to have like a dead free agency period ever again. Like, there's always going to be something crazy that happens just because of, like, you know, it just seems like there always is. I mean, is that, like, do you think that's partly to do with the fact that, you know, the cap's risen so much and there's so much, you know, financial, like, you know, flexibility with these teams? Or I mean, do you guys agree with that? Do you agree with that sentiment?
I mean, I think it's a combination of social media, kind of, you know, that being out there where everyone can kind of now get instant access to what happens immediately and have a reaction to it. I think that's a big part of it. I think just the sport has grew more and more. I think it more has to do with stuff like that versus anything else.
Well, how are you holding in there, trade for this free agency period? Obviously, Gobert, our guy, got traded, but not to the Bulls. So how are you feeling about this free agency period so far?
I mean, I think it's been...
I was just going to say, I do think we see more stars traded more often. We see guys want, you know, requesting trades. I do think there is going to, that's going to, a trend that's going to continue regardless of what the owners try and get done with the CBA. But I think that's one of those, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube kind of situations. But so I do think you're right in terms of every offseason, even if there isn't a big move, yeah, just like Ryan was saying, with all the social media, with all the talk, with every athlete being on Twitter, even if there isn't a big move, I think it's going to be an exciting time just being anxious, waiting on something that might not happen.
And, you know, obviously we'll talk about him a little bit later, but we've got guys that have intense star power these days, and players can just request out. You know, I'm talking about obviously Kevin Durant with the Brooklyn Nets, and we will touch on him a little bit later in the show, guys. But I think that's something that's not going away either. You know, the power of the players, and, you know, I'm all for it, man. I'm glad they have this power, but we also see how that can backfire in these kind of situations, because, man, you know, it makes me laugh, man. And you know, I'm gonna throw this to you, Ryan, actually, real quick, before we get to the Bulls stuff. You know, I saw someone out, I see people out there saying, you know, oh, Rudy Gobert went for 5 firsts and a pick swap and a bunch of young talent. So obviously KD's, you know, price shot up. And it's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like with like basketball or baseball cards. It's like, you know, great, you know, you've got your price that you're willing to sell your thing for, but it's only the price you're willing to sell. You're only going to get that price if you can find somebody willing to pay that price. And, you know, the Brooklyn Nets don't necessarily have a ton of leverage with KD, because everyone knows that he requested out. So, I mean, how do you feel? Do you feel like, you know, KD's going to go for a monster package, as everyone's saying out there? I think he will go for a monster package. I just don't know if it's going to be even as good as the Gobert package, honestly.
Yeah, well, I mean, the only real leverage the Nets have is he signed for 4 years. KD, he has no – he can't leave. So, in the end of the day, the Nets, they can say, look, if we don't get an offer we want, we don't have to trade him. Now, obviously, that's going to bring drama. But I feel like when you're trading someone like Kevin Durant, you can't just settle, especially when you have 4 years, or I guess 3 years, to figure out a good package. Obviously, I don't think it'll take that long. So I do think they will actually get a good package. I will say, you know, in the NBA, you are limited. It's not like the Suns, for example, could trade 12 draft picks,
right,
for Kevin Durant. At the end of the day, they're going to be limited to 4. Like, and a bunch of pick swaps, similar to like James Harden. Like, that's pretty much as high as a team goes as far as draft assets are concerned. But, you know, I think KD will definitely net a starter, someone like maybe DeAndre and or Miles or Mikal Bridges, if they can get those guys to agree to go over there. And he will get a lot of draft picks for sure. So something similar to what James Harden was traded for, 4 first rounds and a bunch of draft swaps in between.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think teams are traded are limited to trading, what is it, like 9 years out or something like that. So I think the maximum is, was it five draft picks that they can trade out or something like that.
You can't trade consecutive years in the future. Right. And then it's
I think it's 7 years. You can do seven years out. And the years that you can't just send unprotected picks, what they've been doing is giving the team the option to swap.
Yeah.
So, like, the Rockets, the years they don't have the Nets picks, they'll have the option to take their picks.
Exactly. As long as you're leaving yourself with a first-round pick and you're not possibly leaving yourself with 2 years in a row, you could do it. So that kind of limits you to four every other year, and then you could do the swap option.
Yeah, and we're going to hit on some rumors later in the show. Obviously, this is a Bulls show, so we're going to move on to some more Bulls topics. But definitely just a lot of curious things happen around the NBA. But before we do get started, listeners, I want to please take a moment. Just ask you to follow at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. It's the single most dominant basketball and fantasy news feed on Earth. Get all your NBA news in one handy Twitter feed. It's faster than the competition and provides more analysis, too. Again, that's at EthosFantasyBK on Twitter. Go follow it now. These guys are breaking stuff down in real time, man, as people get traded and stuff. So it's really a lot of fun to see. If you're in Dynasty Leagues like I am, you know, you want to get this information out there and be able to follow it. So go follow that Twitter account. I definitely suggest that. But anyway, shifting gears, guys, let's talk about the Bulls. So, you know, Trey and I, you know, we're smarter guys, but we're pretty much average fans. So, you know, we hear these words being, you know, tossed around about the Bulls and the situation they're in. You know, we hear the luxury tax. We hear being hard capped, quote unquote. We hear the tax apron, you know, just these terms that are kind of maybe difficult for people to wrap their heads around. So when we're talking about the Bulls specifically, Ryan, you know, where are we in terms of the cap? Like, you know, can we add another guy that's, you know, a contributor for the team, or are we looking at just minimum salaries at this point?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So the Bulls they're technically over the cap. But when you're over the cap, depending on where you are versus the tax, you're allowed exemptions, which pretty much allow you to sign players over the cap. So the Bulls, they had the mid-level exemption, which is worth approximately $10.4 million. They used, on top of my head, what, like 3.2 of it on Andre Drummond. So you're left with about $7 million or so. You know, there was a lot of reports the Bulls are going after Danilo Gallinari, and they were going to use pretty much the rest of that exemption on him, which obviously didn't happen. He chose Boston. So, you know, if we believe those reports as true, I think the Bulls were clearly planning on using the rest of that exemption. Now, some people believe that Jerry doesn't want to pay the tax, and he wasn't going to. But just based off that rumor alone, if that was the plan, that would have brought them into the tax.
I was going to say that would have brought them into the tax by what, about $1.5 million, right? Like, not very much. It would have brought them right to the edge of it. Correct.
Yeah, it would have been a little over. I don't have the exact math in my head.
What I'm kind of getting at is if they could have, say, dumped Tony Bradley at the trade deadline, maybe. I don't know who else is at the end of the bench. Maybe one other person at the end of the bench. They might have even still been able to duck back under that luxury tax line by the end of the year.
Yeah, that's 100%. It's possible. Yeah, they could have done that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Tony.
Can I ask a quick question? All right. So one of the guys we really had an eye on was Isaiah Hartenstein from the Clippers.
Yeah.
We saw him go for 2 years, $16 million. Is it fair to say that would have been enough to not go into the luxury tax, but it would have kept us from being able to get Gallo also? So is it fair to say the Bulls front office prioritized Drummond and Gallo over over him? Just looking at how things played out, or do you think he just really wanted to be a Nick?
Who wants to be a Nick? No, go ahead.
it's tough. I think. The problem with Hartenstein was I guess playing time, you know, I guess obviously they have Mitchell Robinson, and I would assume after what they gave him, that's the plan. But, you know, Mitchell doesn't play 30 plus minutes. He's always in foul trouble. And
yeah,
I think there was more opportunity in that sense. I think, you know, problem with, you know, assuming that they were offering money years the same, the problem more here was, you know, Vuk is still going to play 30 plus minutes, and unless the idea was to play those two together, which I'm sure they would have experimented with, but ideally they probably, you know, that's not something you're doing a lot. I just feel like the opportunity wasn't as rewarding for Hartenstein here, assuming the money was all the same.
Let me ask you about another guy, and Hartenstein was like the top of pretty much the top of both of our lists, I believe, for me and Trey here. But second guy that we talked about ad nauseum on this show was Mo Bamba. He signed a 2-year, $21 million contract with the Magic. I'm looking at Spot Track right now for his salary here. Salary comes in about $10.1 million. Obviously it's an estimate. That's not you know, cut in stone. But does that mean we could have afforded, you know, Mo Bamba with that full MLE pretty much?
So that's a little above the MLE. It's 6.4. That seems like 11 million. I guess depending on how you structure that, it could have been possible. Where the Bulls, I wanted to talk about where the Bulls messed up, and this has been talked about on Twitter a lot, is last year they used the biannual exemption, which is another exemption you can use over the cap. You can use that in the mid-level exemption. They used that on Tristan Thompson. And the only problem with that is you can't use that exemption 2 years in a row. What they should have done last year is get Tristan to sign to the minimum, save that exemption for this year. They could have signed Andre Drummond to that exemption, and then they would have had the full mid-level exemption to spend on whoever, that, like Hartenstein, Bamba,
right,
whoever they wanted to be. Gallinari. That's really where the Bulls messed up. I don't understand why they couldn't leverage Thompson into signing for the minimum. That's really where I think they kind of screwed up, because they limited their assets and, I mean, ability to go after free agents. So I think that's really where they messed up. The Bamba contract seemed to be a little bit out of their price range. But it's close enough where I don't think should make that much of a
difference. Right. Yeah, I would say that's what I was going to say. I mean, to me, it feels like, you know, the Bulls had a shot at two of our top guys here. Either they weren't interested. I mean, Hartenstein for sure. I think Bamba, yeah, it might have been a little bit less than what Orlando was offering. But at the same time, you can say, hey, you know, you're going to play backup minutes and you're going to get minutes on this Bulls team, because obviously the Bulls are thin in the front court. But you're going to get backup minutes on a, you know, team that's actually competing and going to make it to the playoffs most likely, which is going to raise your profile instead of playing for the Magic, which, you know, obviously smaller, you know, fan base, and people aren't really watching the Orlando Magic, you know, for better or for worse. But so I think both those guys honestly were gettable, Trey. I don't know if you agree with me on that, but let me throw this to you, Trey. Reinsdorf, right? We were talking, and Ryan brought it up. You know, we're talking about the luxury tax and the Bulls spending into the luxury tax. They haven't done that in a long, long time. I can't remember the exact years, but it's been a long time since they've spent the luxury tax. But here's what Reinsdorf said on the Bulls Talk podcast about the luxury tax. He said, absolutely. All you have to do is go back and look at the last number of championship teams. How many of them were in luxury tax? With the nature of the NBA and having a soft cap, if you want to compete for championships, you have to be willing to spend into the tax. I think most people will tell you, I don't want to spend into the tax if we're not competing for championships. If we're not good enough, I don't want to be eighth seed or out of the playoffs and go into the luxury tax. But when it comes to a team like the Bulls, and if we can take the necessary steps next year that allow us to compete for a championship, then for sure we'll go into the tax. It's part of the nature of the NBA. So, Trey, it sounds to me like, you know, if we really believe in this Bulls team, and we've got, you know, these guys were first in the East at some point last season, right? And if they have health, that can happen again this season. If that does happen, how confident are you, Trey, that Jerry Reinsdorf is going to open up that checkbook?
Somewhat confident. To me, I think this is going to be his year. He's going to turn 27, I think, this year. So to me, I think the idea is to avoid the repeater tax. And if Zach's prime is his, say, 28 to 31 seasons, maybe they're looking to hit the luxury tax two of those years and they're worried about if they hit this year, that takes up, because I think you can, I think it's what, 3 out of 4 years is when that third year is whenever you start getting hit with the extra penalties. And one of the reasons I bring that up is because we have Ryan here to clarify that. But I think if they had an all-in move, something they were for sure was going to make the team a contender, say trading for a Gobert or Kevin Durant or someone like that, I think they would go all in on that. But to me, them being willing to also sign Gallo and to dip their toes over that line shows, I think, they were maybe willing to experiment, but they were also, like I said earlier, able to back out maybe before the trade deadline. So I think they're willing, but only for the right opportunity in the next year or two.
So, Ryan, if you don't mind clarifying about that repeater tax for us, but also I have a question for you as well. So let's say that, you know, Reinsdorf is willing to open that checkbook and spend, you know, how much salary can we add? Can we add somebody that's going to, you know, make us go, whoa, we can actually add that guy? Or is it like something where we can add like $15 million to our salary before we're hard capped or whatever?
So Trey hit it on the nail about the repeater tax. To answer your question, one thing about that, so they, like I said, they have about $7 million left of that exemption. The problem with that exemption is it's worth 10.4. If you use 6.3 million of it, you become hard capped, which the Bulls would be if they choose to use the full. So that would hard cap them at the apron, which is just $6 million above the tax, which I believe that's 156, if I'm not mistaken. So if the plan was to use MLE, then that you're pretty much hard capped at $6 million above the tax, and that's as far as you could go this season for the Bulls.
Unless the Bulls were to clear out some more, you know, like cut Tony Bradley. You know, there might be some guys that we can do that with, obviously. So, you know,
their team tally would never increase past 156.
That's the hard cap space right there. Okay, got it. So we're not looking at, you know, adding a guy making $20 million or something like that. It's more like we're really looking at the team right now as it stands, and we're not really adding anybody that's going to be noteworthy unless they come and take a pay cut, I guess, to play for the Bulls, which, let's talk about Dragic. You know, we just signed Dragic to $2.9 million, I believe it was, 1 year deal. And I believe that was a veteran minimum deal. Is that correct?
Yeah. So yeah, it was, it's a veteran deal, minimum deal. So yeah, he'll get paid $2.9 million. The Bulls were only paying him $1.8 million. The NBA will reimburse that money to him. And they just do that so older players don't get discriminated against, because they're more expensive. And his tax, it will only be $1.8 million.
Okay. So basically, yeah, and that's why we still.
I'm glad you clarified that, because I was getting ready to be like, well, wait a minute. I looked at the cap and it said 1.8. So thank you for that clarification.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just because, yeah, if that wasn't there, then teams will shy away from older players in certain situations, because it would cost more money.
That makes sense. So let me ask you, Trey, from a basketball standpoint, you know, Dragic, how are you feeling, man? I'll tell you my thoughts in a minute. Let me get your thoughts first.
Part of me is, I know they say Lonzo is playing again, but part of me wonders if this is some Lonzo insurance, because I think he is, you know, kind of a playmaking point guard.
It definitely is. Yeah, even if he's playing again, you know, Lonzo hasn't played, I don't believe, a full season in his career. So I think it's definitely Lonzo insurance. Go ahead.
I plan on bringing it up later, but it kind of puts Lonzo on the available table for me. So. That's something we'll discuss later. But to me, he's a guy who he's friends with Vooch. I really expected him to end up in Dallas, especially after Luka had the crowd chanting MVP at him the other day.
Right.
I think he's a nice addition to have, because I think the Bulls needed some playmaking, especially when Lonzo was out. And that's something that he can definitely bring.
Yeah, everyone.
I don't think I want him to wear number one.
They won't let him. He'll get murdered in the city of Chicago. But no, you know, everyone all over Dallas media was saying, you know, obviously we're getting Goran Dragic because, you know, he's Luka's boy or whatever. But yeah, Vooch, man, you know, recruiter in chief here, man. He brings over Goran for us. Now, from a basketball fit, I think it's good to have some insurance there for Lonzo Ball. You know, obviously the Bulls struggle down the stretch there without Lonzo in the lineup. Do I think Goran Dragic, you know, is entirely a good replacement for Lonzo Ball? No, of course not. He brings a very different type of play style to the game. He's not nearly as explosive as Lonzo, not nearly as quick to get the ball up the court, but he can score, he can create offense. Obviously, he's getting up there in age. So, you know, what we've seen from him in the last few years has not been impressive, to be quite frank. But, you know, as Ryan pointed out, it's a veteran minimum deal. There's basically the only risk here associated with signing him is taking up a roster spot that could go to somebody else, which at this point doesn't look with our cap situation, doesn't look like it's going to be anybody too impressive anyways. And if we need to clear up a roster spot, you know, we're you and I have been willing to cut Tony Bradley like four times already in this podcast. So get out the door, Tony Bradley. Here's a roster spot for you if we need somebody. So, I'm pretty meh about it, just like I've been about all the Bulls moves, to be honest. You know, Drummond, pretty mad about that also, because it does fill a need. It's a big, you know, body. He's been solid. He was solid for the Sixers in a, you know, a 15 to 20 minute role, backup role behind Embiid. And I think he can do that again behind Vooch. And, you know, obviously we re-signed Derek Jones Jr., which I'm not the biggest fan of him. And Trey, I'll let you talk more about him because I know you're more of a fan of him and more of a fan of that signing than me. I think I've seen enough of Derek Jones Jr. myself, just because the one limitation for me is the shooting, and I think the Bulls need to add more shooting. I'm glad that they did with Goran Dragic, but I just don't think that's enough. I think they needed – I would have loved to have Gallo instead of DJJ. Ryan, let me point it to you, man. So tell me a little bit about these guys' contracts, Derek Jones Jr. and the other guy I mentioned, Drummond. And, you know, tell me how that – obviously Drummond fits into MLE a little bit, but for DJJ, how is his contract structured?
They just pretty much used bird rights to re-sign him. What was it, 2 years, $6 million, pretty much .2 a year, I guess. I don't know how they had it structured, if it's going to be a little less this year, more next year. I don't think those numbers have been released, but I thought that Derrick Jones signing was pretty good value for him. And this is the guy that got, what was his previous contract? 2 years, $24 million, and the Bulls were able to get him for 2 years, $6 million. I agree with you in the sense where, you know, Bulls preached wanting to improve shooting, and I don't really think they did anything to do that. Dragic is a capable shooter, but if I'm stressing I need to improve shooting, that's probably not my target. And Derrick Jones Jr. I think it was just retaining an asset for at good value, someone that helped them last year, you can involve in a trade because he has good value in the future. I think it was more just about that. It was weird to me how the Bulls stressed they're going to go after shooting, and I didn't really see them do anything other than the Gallinari rumor, which is why I kind of do believe that rumor. It did address a need that they were very open about.
Yeah, I would have loved to have Gallinari, honestly. I didn't think he addressed all our problems, but shooting, definitely, he would have addressed that. How'd you feel about the Drummond signing? Is that, you know, a good fit for the Bulls? Obviously. Go ahead.
No, sorry. I liked it. I thought it got way too much negativity on Bulls Twitter. I agree, I think the problem with the signing is Drummond's not a player that's going to make a big difference in your playoff rotation. I mean, he'll definitely spell boost some minutes, and he can help there. But at the end of the day, he's not probably one of the five, six guys you're going to play in crunch minutes in the in the situation. Or really neither any of the guys they brought in. And so that's kind of, I don't want to say it's disappointing, but it just really stresses how much better the Bulls core is just going to have to play next year. Especially come playoff time.
And it's frustrating to see, you know, some of these Eastern Conference teams getting better while the Bulls are not really getting better. I mean, you know, we replaced some pieces. I think we did maybe get slightly better with, you know, adding Drummond instead of having Tony Bradley there, adding Dragic, obviously, as some point guard depth. So I think it's a little bit better. But, you know, you have Celtics going out there and splashing and getting Malcolm Brogdon after, you know, finishing a couple games short of winning an NBA Finals. So, you know, it stings a little bit, you know. So it's not exactly my, I, you know, a little disappointed.
It also stings because they didn't trade. I mean, I like Naismith, but they didn't trade anyone they played. Like everyone they were playing in those deep playoff runs, they kept. Now we just added Brogdon.
So, I saw someone on Twitter said, they traded their garbage lineup and a protected first for Drew Brogdon. That's it. It was their garbage lineup. That's pretty much what they gave up. Trey, after that DJJ contract signing went up, you messaged me and said you love it because you see his potential as a small ball five, which I don't disagree with. I think it gives the Bulls some flexibility there. But go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and complete that thought process there.
Specifically, I love the idea of playing him with Lonzo, who is 6'6". You've got Caruso, maybe have Io out there, and Patrick Williams. And you've got a super aggressive, switchable defense that I think can be on the attack, can get out in transition, and can take advantage of the fact that they might be smaller. But I think just the way that they would be able to force defenses, especially if you're putting them against second units, and just making them be uncomfortable on the offensive end. I think there's some value in that. And I can't give up on him. I liked what I saw whenever he was, you know, he did get to play that little bit with the Bulls. And I've always been a fan of his, and I want to see him succeed. And I think he can do it in a Bulls uniform. So I like him as a backup, whether it's at the four or specifically in a small ball five role.
And I'm surprised you didn't pull the line you always pull out, which is who's going to guard Giannis? Because that's a very true statement. You know, if it's not Patrick Williams on this Bulls team and you can't have Patrick Williams playing, you know, 48 minutes a night, you know, who's going to guard Giannis, the Giannis's of the world? And I think Derek Jones Jr. is an okay answer to that. Is he my ideal answer? Probably not because of his offensive shortcomings, but I think he's an okay answer to that. So let's talk about the big news here from free agency, the reason that the Bulls, you know, they did a little, you know, average, maybe slightly above average. I'll say average. They did averages free agency, in my opinion.
Because I really thought this is where you were going when you were like, I'm sad about the Bulls free agency because they didn't sign anyone. But at least
they did the right thing. And they obviously gave Zach his max, which we, you know, have said over and over again. It's the obvious choice. If they wouldn't have done it, it would have been absolute chaos, and I don't know how to. I would have not been a fan of that. But 5 years, $215 million, a little bit over that is the contract here. So, Ryan, tell me a little bit about, you know, what this, how this affects our cap. You know, not just this year, but like moving forward. I mean, obviously that's a big number when you're just looking at it. But this cap increases every year. So, is this a good value for this contract, do you think?
I think, you know, the Bulls, nothing good was going to come from Zach just leaving Chicago, which he could have done. So, yes, I think it's good value in the sense where the Bulls would have been without him. It's good value. As far as with their salary cap, I mean, as long as the Bulls have this core of Ball, DeRozan, and Levine, you know, they're going to be over the cap. This is not going to be a team with cap space in the near future. You know, it was just about the Bulls retaining their best player, and that to me was 100% necessary. And the number one move, the number one priority they obviously had this offseason was getting Zach Levine back, and they were able to do that.
I'm going to have to get my receipts because I said it was one of our first episodes that we did, Trey. I said that the Bulls' big plan, it was right after they got DeMar. And I said the Bulls' big plan was to get Zach to sign the dotted line. That was it. That was the goal of last season, to prove to Zach, hey, we can put a contender around you. We are serious about winning. So this is a big win to me. This is a big win for me because this is Arturis, because I always butcher the name. This is him achieving what I thought he needed to achieve. So how are you feeling after Zach signed that max?
Very happy with the contract. Glad to see him get a player option for him. The Bulls just seem to be handing out player options to everyone. But I guess if you're going to hand them out to anyone, Zach's the guy who deserves it. So glad to see him get the contract. And I think the Bulls team, it goes with how healthy Zach is. They told us he was 50% towards the end of the last season. I saw a couple people going back and forth on Twitter. Apparently, I didn't go back and check this, but apparently he didn't dunk at all, or maybe only once or twice in the entire playoffs against the Bucks. So if he can come back and come back healthy, I think he's definitely worth the contract with just the numbers he's able to put up. I'm happy with it. I'm glad they were able to get it done. I'm glad he got to sit and enjoy and maybe have his phone ring for that one day and just have people being like, what are you doing? What's going on? You know,
he gave us a little scare there. Yeah.
Right. Good for him. But I'm glad that he's back in Chicago. And I have no regrets whatsoever about him signing that contract.
Let me ask you this. Did you ever doubt it? Because I had no doubt in my mind. I was totally confident, even though he didn't. You know, that morning of free agency opening didn't immediately announce that he was re-signing with the Bulls. I was still like, I wouldn't say 100%, but 95% confident he was coming back to the Bulls. So how were you feeling?
Oh, I was 100%. I'll say that. I never once, like, considering, like, everything I was trying to consider, every options going through my head, not once did Zach going elsewhere come into play for me.
And you mentioned Lonzo Ball, and you mentioned being available for you now. So let me shift gears again. Let's go back to Kevin Durant here. And let me read this this tweet here from Mr. Pat Hunt over at News Nation, a social media producer at News Nation. It says the Chicago Bulls are now the third favorite to be Kevin Durant's next team at +1,000 for the odds. They've signed two of Durant's former teammates, which is Dragic and Drummond. So let me ask you that, Trey. Do you think that there's a chance here that KD comes to the Chicago Bulls?
I mean, I think there's a chance. I've got a trade for you guys. Are you ready?
That's what I was trying to get to.
That's really what you're after, right? Okay.
Let's hear your trade machine material.
So, Patrick Williams.
Yeah.
Lonzo Ball. Io. Kobe White. Portland's 2023 pick. That's protected. And then the Bulls can trade their 2027 pick and their 2029 pick. So the players are Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball, Kobe White, and Io. So this is what the Bulls would still have left. You've got Dragic and Goran starting, Zach LaVine, DeMar at small forward, Durant and Vooch. And then your backups are Caruso, Javonte Green, Dalen Terry, Derek Jones Jr., and Andre Drummond.
Hey, if he gets Kevin Durant on my team, I'm all for it. But, man, I don't think the Brooklyn Nets take that package. I like it, man.
Obviously, I think it's better than anything, including Vooch, unless they're just looking for an expiring.
Yeah, we're just talking about the best trade that the Bulls can put out there. I mean, I don't think it's going to beat, you know, the Suns offer or the Toronto Raptors supposedly have a great offer out there. I don't think any of that's going to beat it. But if we're talking about the best Bulls offer, and if you're talking about, man, the Brooklyn Nets want to.
So you could also just straight throw Alex Caruso in this trade, and it would still work. Mm-hmm. Then you don't have him as your, you know, backup. And I was really trying to keep one of them. But, I mean, if you can get Kevin Durant, I feel like you do it, especially if you can have Zach, DeMar, Durant, and Vooch and Goran. I think that would be ideal. But so that – I guess if you go all in, throw Caruso into that. So it's Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball, Kobe White, Io, Caruso, and three picks.
All the point guards and three picks. Ryan, does that move the needle for you at all in the Kevin Durant sweepstakes here?
So one thing about the Bulls draft pick situation, they don't really have those first. So the problem with the trades they made is the language they put into these deals with these protections. So like technically they owe Orlando 2023 pick, but that technically could be conveyed to 2024. Because if they get top four this year, then they'll be go to 2024. And then that's the latest that pick can convey. But the problem is they also have this first with the Spurs that they owe for the DeRozan deal. And so that can start as late as 2026. And then that has protections in it for the next 3 years after that. And so in theory, the Bulls can't trade any of these first round picks because they might have to owe them later. So
they would have to trade to get those protections taken off of those picks.
Yeah, exactly. Which will be, you know, a little harder to do. So to be honest, I don't think there's a package the Bulls have unless they can get those protections changed that gonna nail them Kevin Durant. I think it was part of the reason why the Gobert trade was never. I mean, after seeing what Utah got, there was no way the Bulls were beating that. There was this. So I think honestly, this I think off season, I think Doug Thonis, I think that's his name. He kind of highlighted the Bulls' assets just weren't there to get involved in any of these trades, like specifically the Gobert situation and the KD. I think that's why they took more of a safe approach because there wasn't really much else they could do unless they can get someone to buy into the Portland pick, which isn't anything that sexy, unfortunately.
No, it's not. But it probably will convey for the Bulls because the Trailblazers have gotten better with adding Jeremy Grant and all that. So I'm hoping that does convey for the Bulls. But, yeah, I don't honestly think the Bulls have enough to get Kevin Durant. I think that's a real pipe dream here. Just relax, Bulls fans. There's better things on the horizon for us, obviously, but it's probably not Kevin Durant. So, but let me ask you about another guy, Trey, that's been linked to the Chicago Bulls in the past. We haven't heard a lot about him recently, but John Collins, the Hawks just made that big trade for DeJounte Murray, which is really impressive. Going to be really fun to watch that team, but John Collins still on the outs there from what we've heard. So, is that a guy you still want for the Chicago Bulls? Let me ask you that.
How are we getting John? Like, who are we sending for John Collins to match the salaries?
I don't know. That's a good question. Maybe Ryan knows that. Is there somebody that slots into that kind of contract?
Like I have no clue.
I mean, let's see, 23 million. So, I think got to trade about 18 million there, or they can trade as much as. I guess let's throw some names. I mean, Booth and then Nikola, a combination of Patrick Williams and Kobe White. I mean, you pretty much got to trade like 18 million.
I mean, but are we trading Patrick Williams for John Collins? No,
I'm not. I'm giving you names.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, what are we doing? Like, what are we doing here? Are we trading?
We're not trading Vucevic
for him because then we don't have a center.
So you're not trading Patrick Williams for John Collins. Is that right? You're not doing that.
That's really the question.
If they want Kobe White, we can maybe talk with them.
Yeah, nobody wants Kobe White.
If anyone wanted Kobe White, he wouldn't be on this team right now.
Nobody wants Kobe White, man. I wish they did.
Collins paid. Yeah. No, I don't think Collins doesn't seem to be a realistic name.
Yeah, probably not. The other guy that I've seen, shopped around here, and they just gave up Brogdon, for peanuts, basically. But Miles Turner supposedly on the chopping block still. And he's been on the trade block for like three seasons now. So who knows? There may not be any fire to the smoke. But man, if Miles Turner can be gettable, is that somebody that we want to get? I mean, is that somebody that I guess we probably have to – I guess he makes probably about the same that John Collins does. So we probably have to go with the same kind of thing, right? Patrick Williams for Miles Turner. Is that something you'd be into, Trey?
I mean, I'd rather just do – if I'm trading for Miles Turner, it'd be Vooch, I think, would be the guy I would move for him.
Yeah, but does the Pacers – do they want that? Probably not. They much would rather – I would think they'd much rather have Patrick Williams because of just they have no chance of winning anything recently. So
yeah, and I love Miles Turner, but – I also how much I value the playmaking Vooch brings on the offensive end, and Miles Turner, he is kind of a black hole on the offensive end. And I, as much as I like, I think I would do it if it was one for one, I feel like the Bulls would have to attach more to it. And I don't think it moves the needle enough for me. Ryan, what do you think about Miles Turner?
I mean, I like everything you said. I like Miles Turner, in terms of making a trade work for here. I mean, everything that you said, I mean, one Booth would make sense, I guess, but I don't know why they would be interested in that. And then he would be, I guess, better rim protection. He could shoot the three probably a little better, but he highlighted Booth's passing, how they use him as a role man, and making decisions as that man would definitely not be as good.
And he just recruited Dragic, so He just recruited Dragic. So, you know, it's like, hey, I'm going to recruit this guy for you, and then you're going to trade me. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. So, you know, we're being realistic here on this podcast. I know that's not the most fun thing out there, listeners, but
I tried to trade picks that we basically can't trade. So we're only being slightly realistic here.
Just slightly realistic. Right. All right. But, folks, while we are talking about all this movement, though, there is no such thing as a fantasy offseason, only the pre-draft season. And here at Sports Ethos, the pre-draft season has already begun. Our expert analysts are churning out important lessons learned and draft analysis on incoming rookies so you can get a jump on your prep. And we'll have incredible free agency and summer league coverage as well, but only if you're part of our premium member team. Head to sportsethos.com now and click on this premium tab to grab a fantasy pass today. Seriously, cook yourself one extra lunch per month because it's only $5.99. What a steal. See you guys there. So, definitely go grab that. One last thing before we end this, guys, and I just want to talk about, you know, we have, I think, about $7 million left in our MLE, is if that's correct. I think that's around $7 million. And I've got just kind of a list of, you know, free agents here. Let me ask you this. Let me throw this to you first, Trey. If the Bulls were to add somebody in, you know, whatever, cut Tony Bradley to create a roster space, you know, what would you want to see them add? Would it be a wing, more shooting, a big man? What?
I mean, a wing or rim protection if you go big.
So
probably a wing, probably another wing.
What about TJ Warren? Is he gettable for that low amount of money coming off that injury?
That would be a Ryan question, I think, more so. But at this stage, if he hasn't signed yet, I kind of wonder if you can offer him minutes. And I guess the real question would be, given the depth that the Bulls have, is he going to be able to get back on the floor enough to show teams next offseason that, hey, I'm back for good?
What do you think, Ryan? Do we have a shot at TJ Warren here?
I mean, I don't know what his market is, what teams are, exactly what every team has available to them. I mean, you know, coming off that, he hasn't played, a year and a half. Mm. I mean, I feel like the money they could offer him makes sense. It's tough for me to sit here and say I know what his market is.
Right.
I do not know.
Yeah. Yeah, so he may command more, but if we could get him for that low amount of money, he's not going to help us defensively. But, you know, he did score a 50-piece in the bubble, man. I mean, this guy's a skilled offensive player. And assuming Kobe is at least facing a diminished role this season, you know, we're trying – obviously, he's on the block. We've been trying to move him. I don't think it's going to happen. But I think he might start getting a diminished role here. So maybe, you know, this is the guy that can jump in and be the scoring off the bench. Here's another guy for you, Trey. I'll throw it back to you, man. I think Cody Martin actually agreed to
Charlotte, right?
Yeah, he agreed to a contract extension with Charlotte, I believe. So I think he's pretty much off the table. But Caleb Martin, I don't think he's been given anything besides a qualifying offer over in Miami, which is like 2.something million. So how do you feel about Caleb Martin?
I'd love to have him.
Yeah, that's a guy I would like to have. Ryan, what about you, man?
Yeah, he's no good D3 guy. I think it would make some sense. I would definitely like Caleb Martin. I think he could definitely fit into the MLE. I don't. Again, I don't know what his market is, but
yeah,
you know, if he can take $7 million, I mean, anywhere in that range of $7 million, I think it would be a good signing. The problem is they have. I guess we can drop Tony Bradley. I guess no problem. I was gonna say they have 15 guaranteed contracts, but yeah, no. So yeah. No, I guess that's
Tony Bradley. Tony Bradley opted into that player option. I was like, dang, man. But of course he did, because no one else is going to pay him $2 million. So he's making $2 million now. But like, you know, you can just cut him and open up a roster spot. One other guy I got for you guys, and he was just released today. Let me ask you about this guy that's still out there, Trey. Mr. Isaiah Roby, just released today by the Oklahoma City Thunder. This guy showed some promise, man. He can step out, hit a three. I wouldn't say bad defense. He's a pretty good defender, pretty versatile, honestly, too. If the Bulls take a flyer on this guy for, you know, maybe we got $7 million left, maybe that's what it takes. I don't know. But is this a guy you like for us?
Sure.
Sure.
Like, that's
not too excited.
I don't know that I would bother cutting Tony Bradley for, like, I don't know that I would bother cutting someone from the roster just to bring him in.
I think I would. I think he's he. I mean,
no, but you hate Tony Bradley. Like you despise that man so much.
Yeah,
you can be the tiebreaker here. Are you cutting Tony Bradley to bring Roby in?
So I mean, in the offseason, you can carry more than they can. So the Bulls have that TPE from the Feast, Daniel Dice, right. They could put a claim on Isaiah Roby, and you know, and they can go over the roster limit right now and keep him around. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to them doing that. Now, as far as come regular season, would I do it? I mean, I think at that point you had enough time to see him in training camp to make a better decision then. I would consider putting a claim on.
That was great fence.
Yeah, thread the needle, but that was a good answer though, because that is a smart thing to do. Go ahead and see what you got there. I'm telling you right now,
Trey. I mean, if I had to make a decision right now, I mean, the Bulls. Yeah, I guess, man. I don't know. I mean, they have four centers, but I don't really trust Marco.
I don't think Marco. I don't know if he'll ever be ready, but I don't think he's ready, man. But he was crushing it in the G League. We've talked about it a few times here. You know, it's something like 18 points a game or something like that. But that's G League, so it doesn't necessarily translate all the time. So I'm not too sold on Marco just yet either. I did like what I saw out of him in Summer League last season. I think he's playing in Summer League this year too, so I'm gonna be watching that as well. So. Hopefully he has another good summer league, and maybe he is the answer. I don't know, but hey, I'm telling you right now, Trey, Isaiah Roby better than Tony Bradley. Mark my words there. I don't know how I'm going to prove it, but there you go. I'm going to be able to pull the audio now. So, all right, guys. But that's going to do it for us here at the Sports Ethos Chicago Bulls coverage show. Again, I am your host, Keith Cork. You can find me on Twitter at BSBPKeith. And Trey, where can the good people find you?
On Twitter at Finally.
And Ryan, man, where can people find you and, you know, anything you want to plug?
You can just follow me on Twitter, at Ryan Borja, my name, the Bulls GM. It's just for fun. You know, I really just do it for fun as a hobby. So, but come join if you want to, if you're interested.
Yeah, man.
It's a great Twitter follow. And people who listen to this know I don't talk a whole lot about the guests. I don't like to kiss up to them, but it's a great Twitter follow. I recommend it for any Bulls fan.
Definitely, man. Right, so keep on top of it. Keep on top of that cap for us, because we'll be following. I always like to read your stuff, man. So it's awesome. So, all right, guys. Until next time. Go Bulls.